Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Losing Kate, written by Kylie Caden and read by Casey Withers. His neck gives him away. I've seen enough of that neck over the years. I've stared at it from the bench seat in the car, from the row behind his in double biology. It is thick and strong, with twin dark freckles to one side. Now here it is again, in my backyard. I know it by the pattern of hair where it kinks on his nape. I know it by the twist in my gut. I've developed tunnel vision as I monitor his position in the crowd, throat tight with a chance he'll turn and look my way. I just want this all to end, but I'm trapped. Jack is back. It's auction day. Prospective buyers huddle under the old gum tree like sheep. The serious few have plastic paddles and nervous eyes, and I wonder which of them might become my new neighbour. The street buzzes with cars and signage. My neighbour Meg says I should embrace the spectacle. She's brought popcorn from her place, her sticky brood of boys in tow. So I've pulled chairs out to my back landing. I dare say I'd even started to enjoy the shenanigans unfolding on the block behind mine until I saw Jack's neck. When I first bought this place, something about the easement, that stretch of ant-nest-ridden nut grass leading to the vacant lot out back, irked me. I'd often sit out here at 1 o'clock, my eyes reaching across the grassy expanse, and wonder who'd take it on. A developer with a design for a brick box? A crazy Moroccan lady who'd teach me how to chew tobacco and paint? The blankness of it niggled. But that's all about to change. The auctioneer, sweating in his suit, delivers his obligatory spiel on the special conditions of auctions, warning the sale is unconditional. He asks for opening bids. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, this land will be sold today. The crowd falls silent as the bidding commences. Two ladies offer bids in big chunks, and I almost forget about Jack's neck. As the auction continues, I can't help but watch the way he moves, how he holds himself. I think about abandoning my cover, escaping inside my cottage, but fear cripples me, and I stay slumped safely behind my veranda post. I grow small beneath its shield. My throat tightens. Then he turns, and I can see his profile, his chiseled cheeks. Jack breaks from the scrum of serious punters chasing an absconding child. He crouches in front of a boy in a baseball cap who is busy pushing a ball through the fence to Meg's dog. I reel inside as I see the man he's become. He is broader now. His calves are tanned and taut, fading into khaki cargos that tug tight across his arse. Dark wavy hair, longish and scruffy, cradles sunglasses nesting on his head. He has not frozen in time. Just stopped existing to me.